I was once sitting at a wedding and reading a little softcover booklet by Rabbi Yoel Schwartz, and Meretz Yisrael, about Rabbi Akiva. So he quotes from Rabbi Samson Reuphel Hirsch. He doesn't tell you where he's quoting from. Usually when he quotes, he gives you chapter and verse. This he doesn't quote where. He says that the Jews were never known for a Seder. In Yiddish folklore, they say that on Pesach night when we have a Seder, so we ask Manashtana Alayla Zem, all of a sudden, why? We're never Mesudadik. And the reason why the whole Torah Shebaal Peh had to go through Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, Stam Mishneh Rameh, Stam Sifro is Reb Yudah, Stam Sifrei is Reb Shimon, Stam Tosefta is Nechemiah, V'kul Aliva Reb Akiva. They were all students of Reb Akiva, and everything went through Reb Akiva because Reb Akiva was a Ger. Akiva was a descendant from Gerim, so he had in his blood this midah of Seder. So that's why the whole Torah Shebaal Peh had to go through Reb Akiva, because he had this non-Jewish trait of Seder. So I remember I was sitting next to Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky from Philadelphia, so I showed him this in the middle of the meal. So he was sitting next to Rabbi Yishvei, so he showed it to him. They never heard of this, interesting. But in today's Parsha, that's what it looks like. It didn't occur to any of the Jews that they should organize a system of Seder with higher courts and lower courts and so on. Until the non-Jew Yisro, the Ger, came. So he recommended to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they instituted a Seder for the Bate Dinim. So one of the things that Yisro tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he's speaking about his role. What is supposed to be the role of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara has in the next parak in Bava Metzia, the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk as Hamaisa Sheyasun Zelefnim Mishur Hadin. It's one of here. It's on Daf Lamed on the base. Hamaisa Sheyasun Zelefnim Mishur Hadin. Some Rishonim counted it as a separate mitzvah. One of the 613 mitzvahs. We don't assume it's one of the mitzvahs. It's a hidu within each one of the 613 mitzvahs to go lefnim mishuras hadin. Both meirodim lachaver and meirodim amokam. You should go lefnim mishuras hadin. There's a Ramah in Hilchas Pshara, in the beginning of Chosh HaMishpat. The Gemara says in the first parak in Sanhedrin, when you come to a din Torah, they can either do din or they can do pshara. Pshara does mean a compromise between the two parties. Well, the boss was complaining to me the other day that he went for a din Torah and they agreed to a pshara, so the other party owed him over $30,000, so they chopped off a little bit, so they made it $25,000. Then the fellow never paid, so he went to another din Torah, so they chopped off another $5,000. So what kind of a pshara is that? That's not a pshara. Pshara is not a compromise. Pshara means whatever Yosha dictates. Rav Soloveitchik is to emphasize that. It doesn't necessarily mean that he says you owe me $1,000, he says I owe you nothing, so you're divided somewhere in the middle. Sometimes the pshar is 100% in favor of one person, sometimes the pshar is 100% in favor of the other person. Pshar means, what does Yosha dictate? Din is din. And sometimes the din is not fair, so Yosha is a pshara. Is there such a thing? What do you mean? The din is not fair. So the Bezin should pass him whatever Yosha dictates. So that's a machlokes hatanoim in Sanhedrin. Are you allowed to speak like that? So one Tana says, Osir, it's also to make up pshara. The Torah gives you what the din is, and that's what's fair. And we don't hold like that. We hold that there is room for pshara. There's a machlokes hatanoim. So one Tana says, the Bezin is permitted to offer the baladinim when they come from the Torah. Would you prefer dinner? Would you prefer pshara? We don't pass him like that either. We say mitzvah to recommend. We can't force it. We recommend, the Bezin recommends, we would recommend you should go for pshara, for Yosha, but we can't force it. So that's the Ramon and Chosh Mishpat Paskins on all, and that's Simon Yud Beis, I think. So it's Simon Yud Beis, Simon Yud Gimel, the same about Pshara. Pshara is Lifnim Mishuras Adin. So the Ramon says there is a Gemara. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, V'haydai Talahem, as Adercha Shiyach Abav as Hamaisa, Shei Asun Zeh Lifnim Mishuras Adin. But you're not Koifa on that. Even though you're Koifa on all the other mitzvahs, you're not Koifa on the mitzvah of Lifnim Mishuras Adin. I remember there used to be a big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Kirzner, Zechanu Levrach, used to be a big bucky. He was the rabbi in the big shul B'nai Yehuda in Borough Park. Rabbi Gifter once told me that they say about him that you can put a pin in the Gemara, and I'll tell you what letter is on each line on every page. So he says, I never believed all that baloney, and I tested him out, and he knew. He knew every letter on every page. And this Rabbi Kirzner used to walk around with a pocket shas in his pocket that had a half an omid on every page. It didn't have an omid on every page. And he still knew the pin test. He knew in the normal Gemara what's on every line. He had a photographic memory, okay. So, I mean, this Rabbi Kirzner was a big bucky. He said over a teretz that he gave on Taisus Kasha and on Tokfa Koyin. He had a degree in mathematics. So he gave him mathematical teretz on Taisus Kasha in the first Perik in Bom and Seed. So he once told me, what's pshat in the Ramah? The Ramah quotes these Hashem that the Bezdin is not Kaifa on Lefnim Shuras Adin. So he said he thinks that it's poshut. If a person doesn't want to sit in sukkah sheni yoisa, lulav sheni noitel, he doesn't want to. So he beat him up till he shakes the lulav. He's very upset. He's crying. He doesn't want to do it. But bottom line is, yoitzeh the lulav. He believes the term in Hashemayim. He does want to do it for some reason or not. But lifnei mishuras hadin, if it's not done, b'leiv shalom, say you're not yoitzeh the mitzvah. So what is it going to help that you're going to force him to do lifnei mishuras hadin? If his heart is not there, so you pay for him to do something that is not yoitzeh anything with it. You only yoitzeh the inyan of going lifnei mishuras hadin if you do it b'leiv shalom. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash interprets, it's a little, Rashi has so much over here, so if you don't read it carefully, you may miss this one. So Rav Elbala Soloveitchik in his Sefer HaChumash just points out what Rashi says, and Rashi is quoting from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally had one plan, and then the plan was changed, how Maimon HaSina is going to be. So the original plan was going to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in the presence of Bnei Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael will listen as HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. So then the Pasuk says, they should prepare. And then it says, Vayaged Moshe is Dibri Ha'om El Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the response of the people to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What was the response? It doesn't say in the Chumash. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Ritzaneinu Liritzes Malkeinu. We would prefer rather that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to us directly. Rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to you, and we should be onlookers, we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to speak to us. So then the next pasuk says, if that's the case, imkain, that you want me to speak to you directly, then you have to prepare for 3 days. According to the original plan, our Kodesh Baruch was going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bnei Yisrael would be onlookers, spectators, so we wouldn't have to have Prisha Gimel Yamin. We wouldn't have to have 3 days of Hachana. But because Vayagin Moshe is Dibri Ha'amal Hashem, they would prefer, Utsaneinu Liris HaSmalkeinu, we want you to speak directly to us, so then the din required that everybody has to prepare. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to proclaim the Aseres HaDibros to Bnei Yisrael, and then it says that it was too much for them to take. And Bnei Yisrael asked Moshe Rabbeinu, "Daber ato imanu v'dishma alei daber imanu lekim pe namus." They wanted to change the plan. Then they said, "It's too much for us. Let's go back to the old system. The Ribbono Shel Olam will talk to you, and you'll tell us over." So that's how the Gemara points out. You look in the Aseres HaDibros, the first two, "Anochi Hashem alokecha shehotzei sicho," HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking in person. "Yelach alimachem al panai." And then the second, "Ki anochi Hashem alakecha, l'ro havaydu shomrei mitzvah soy." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking in the first two of the Aseres HaDibros. And the rest of them, doesn't say, "Lasisa shmi lashav ki lo anake." It says, "Lasisa shem Hashem alakecha lashav ki lo yinake Hashem." Doesn't say, "Ki lo yanake." So I'm starting from the third one on, is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what you get the impression, as if the Bnei Yisrael said, we want you to speak to us directly. So the Ribbono Shel Olam started, "Sanochi v'li elochami piagvur shemaynam." These two he told Bnei Yisrael directly. And then the other two, sounds like Bnei Yisrael requested a Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle. They were mafsik in the middle of the Aseres HaDibros. And after the first 2 days, asked Moshe Rabbeinu, "Daber ata imanu v'nishmar." Let's go back to the old plan, and then the rest was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. The problem is that the pasuk introduces "Vayidaber l'kim miskol adorim ha'ela lemar." It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu said everything. So it sounds like he proclaimed all the aseres adibas directly. So that's why Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, "Ateretz to be miyashen," that initially all the aseres adibas were proclaimed bevasachas. And then the people didn't understand a word. And then the Rabbi Shalom started to say one by one. So the second time around, "Vayidaber l'kim miskol adorim ha'ela lemar," he said over everything from the beginning to the end. And then when he said over Befratus one at a time, so he said over the first two, and then they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "It's too much, you take over, and you tell us afterwards." The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Rekech. The Rekech was one of the later Bali HaTosfos. He has a lot Kabbalah. Rekech has a biur on the Siddur that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, that in the Kaddish there's supposed to be 10 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisgadel, Yisgadesh. Then you say, Yisbarach, Yishtabach, Yisbar, Yisham, Yisnasiv, Yisador, Yisadev, Yisalol, Shmei Likud Shebrichu, 10 praises, Mechuvan Keneged, Aseres Hadibros. Why is it Mechuvan? I don't know. And he says, because Anecha V'liyah Lecha Mipi HaGvura Shemayinum, the first two were different from the other eight, so that's why we separate the first two. And the first two we say in Hebrew, that's what the Rekech claims, that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, is Gadel v'Yisgadesh, and the other eight are Beloshen Aramis. I mentioned that there was a rabbi in Baltimore who passed away 2 years ago at the age of 90. He was brought up in America, and then he went to learn in Tells in Europe. So he writes, he wrote a book in English that's, he learned in Tells, I think, 6 years or 8 years or something. Then he came back to America. He was a rabbi in the Baltimore area. So he writes that this was not the practice anywhere in Lithuania. The name of the book is Meglita. So he claims this was not the practice anywhere in Lithuania, even in Radin. They didn't say Yizgadel, Yizgadesh. Everybody said Yizgadal. That's the Nusach HaGro. The Gro says like that. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes it from the Rekeach, but that was not the practice anywhere. He said that after the war, all the yeshivas were destroyed, and everyone was trying to reconstruct what things were like when they founded a yeshiva. They tried to reconstruct the way things were observed in the yeshivas, and they looked in the Mishnah Berurah. They thought the Mishnah Berurah describes the way things were happening in the Litvish yeshivas, and he says it's not so. He says the Aruch HaShulchan always defends the minhagim that the people had. The Aruch HaShulchan, you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, you'll know what the practice was. You look in the Mishnah Berurah, no similarity living a debt to what the practice was in the yeshivas. A lot of times he writes things that they didn't do, even in Radin. They didn't follow what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. He writes about putting on, we spoke about putting on a talis and tefillin in the ante room, then walking in. He says this was not the practice anywhere in Lithuania, even in Radin. They didn't do like that. He said he learned to tell the yeshiva, but he says he spoke to others who lived, who learned there in Radin. He says nobody had that practice. Anyway, this is one of the things. The original plan was HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Bnei Yisrael will be spectators and they'll be watching and listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Throughout all the future generations, the Jewish people will believe that Torah min HaShemayim. How come we see Jews who don't believe in Torah min HaShemayim? If the pasuk says v'gam b'cho yaminu li'olam, this will accomplish this. So the Rambam writes in one of his, I think it's in Igeres Teman, Rambam writes in one of his major Igarot, not in the Tshuvas, that Biyodua, if a person doesn't believe in Moshe, in the voice Moshe Rabbeinu, Biyodua, he must be a descendant from Gerim. This promise was only for those over the generations. There must have been many, many Gerim. So the Rambam assumes that whoever doesn't believe in Torah Moshe, it couldn't be that his ancestors stood at Har Sinai, because the Torah promise is Gam B'cho Yaminu Li'olam. So you can't have any apikursim from Kohanim Olavim, because they are clearly not descendants from Gerim. They wouldn't be Kohanim Olavim. I don't know. That's what the Rambam claims, because the pasuk says Gam B'cho Yaminu Li'olam, that their descendants will believe forever. The Gemara says that Har Sinai had a din like the Beis HaMikdosh, or say it a little better, the Beis HaMikdash is the Hemshech of Maimon HaSinai. That's what the Ramban explains on Chumash. HaSinai was once in the history of the world, So after Maimon Hasina, Kodesh Baruch Hu instructs Bnei Yisrael in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh by Yaakov Pikudei, we should construct the Beis HaMikdosh, we should put the Luchas there, it should be a place to house the Luchas, and this will be a Hemshech of Maimon Hasina. So the Beis HaMikdosh, there are three different levels, more than three levels, Eser Kedushas, 10 levels of Kedushas, the Mishnah says in the first Perek in Kalim, 10 levels of Kedushas. So there are basically three levels of Kedushin Beis HaMikdash, Azara, Harabais, and Yerushalayim. All three are called Lifnei Hashem. V'chalto Sham Lifnei Hashem Alakecha Maisa Degon Chavisi Rosh Chavitzarecha V'chores Bikorcha B'tzeinecha. That goes on Yerushalayim. And sometimes you say V'shachatas Ben HaBoka Lifnei Hashem. You have to shech the Karbonis in the Azara. And sometimes Lifnei Hashem goes on the Harabais. V'chatzatzos V'kol Shofo Hariyu Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. So the Gemara says that was in the Harabais, not only in the Azorah, but it didn't apply in Yerushalayim. Wherever you have Chatzetzus, you should have Shofar. Whenever you have Shofar, you have Chatzetzus. But Chatzetzus is called Shofar, that's a Pasuk in Tehillim. Hariyu, Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. So the three, Lefnei Hashem means Beis HaMikdash, there are three different levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The Azorah is the most intense. Yeah, within the Azorah, more degrees. That's the Mishnah, Esa Kedushas Saint. 10 levels, each one is higher than the other of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. But basically you have these three. So Har Sinai, Beis HaMikdash is a carryover from the Har Sinai. Har Sinai had a din that the Balkeri with the Polet and Shechazera were not permitted to participate. Like a din of shiluach tamei min amachna. That's how the Gemara says in Pesachim daf peivov. It's a connection with the din of shiluach tamei min amachna. We have later in Chumash in Parshas Bahaloischo. Where is it? Nosol. Forgot about Parshas Nosol. Yeah, the din of shiluach tamei. So the Gemara in Pesachim daf peivov draws a connection. The Gemara says that Ezra made 10 takonas. The Gemara in the end of Perek Meruba and Bavakama. Ezra made 10 takonas, and what lists off the 10 takonas? And one of the takonas was that a Balkeri is not permitted to learn Torah. How did he figure this one out? So the Pasha Pshat is, you should tell over to your children the story of Maimon HaSinai. And the Ramban counts it as one of the mitzvahs ladaris. You should learn like Parsha Zohar. You should learn Parsha Zohar, we assume, once a year, every year. So you should learn Parsha Maimon HaSinai once a year, every year. We learn it three times. We learn it on Shavuos. We learn it Parshas Yisro. We learn it Parshas Vayeschan. We learn it three times a year. But the Ramban holds in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's a mitzvah once a year, every year, to learn about Maimon HaSinai. V'haydaitam levonecha v'levnei banecha yom asher marta lefnei Hashem alakecha b'chor. So the Gemara Brachos has an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk. V'haydaitam levonecha means you should teach over Torah to your children. But how do you read Yom HaShem Marta? So the Gemara understands Ka Yom HaShem Marta. You should teach over to your children Torah in the same fashion, the same way we were Mekabel HaTorah at HaSinai. There was Mamash Agilu Shechina, and the Torah was received Be'ema B'yir Beresas Ubezeya Ubezeya, with not with perspiration. Zeya means perspiration. Zayin Yud Ayin Hey Zia Zayin Yud Ayin is a different word. It means trembling, fear and trembling. So just like Maimon HaSinai, by Yarham, by Yonu, the people were shaking from Pachar of Yiras Hashem. There was a Gilu Shechina. So too, when we teach Torah to our children, should be Be'ema B'yir B'Resas of Azia. So just like at HaSinai, what do you mean Be'ema B'yir B'Resas of Azia? A man who was a Balkeri or a woman who would be a Polet to Shechazera, that level of Tumah, the other Tumahs are Yatzolam Migufoy. That doesn't come from Zechichas Hadas, from having a good time. But Balkeri and Paletu Shechavazera comes from worldly pleasures, very worldly pleasures. So just like Maimon HaSinai, one who was a Balkeri, a Paletu Shechavazera, was not permitted to participate, so too the Duris, a Balkeri is not allowed to teach Torah to his children. So the the Gemara says that Ezra made such a takonah. Sounds like it's a takonah de Rabbanon, because that's not the Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk. Pashup Pshat, V'idaitam levnecha levnevanecha yom asher amarta, means you should tell over Maimon HaSinai, that there's a Kriyas HaTorah d'oraisa, once a year, every year, Maimon HaSinai. So the problem is, the Gemara says that in the later generations, the Tanoim did away with that takonah de Rabbanon. Gemara says in Brachos that Haloko Dvariko, the Rabbi says Haloko Dvariko Eish, Nuum Hashem. Just like Eish, Zaini Makabal Tumab, the return up Makabal Tumab. So they allowed a Balkari to learn Torah. So all the Rishonim work on the Kasha. How can it be? Ain bezn yochel levatel devi bezn chaverim ken gadol hamenah b'chokhma v'minyan. How could the later Tanaim repeal the rabbinic enactment that takana the rabbanon of Ezra? Did they think that they were greater b'chokhma v'minyan? So some Rishonim say they suggest different. Some Rishonim say maybe they looked around and they saw that it was never niskapel, that it was too difficult to observe, to go require of everyone who wants to learn Torah, wants to teach Torah, that they have to go to mikveh in advance not to be balkeret. Maybe it was never pashta b'rov Yisrael. It's one suggestion, they give other suggestions. So the Meiri in Brochas gives a different suggestion. He says, no, this was always a din deraisa. Ezra instituted a din deraisa. Either Gemara says there were 10 takanas Ezra. Takana usually means a takana de rabbanon. So he says, well, the Gemara says also that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai in his bezin, he was chief rabbi for 40 years. The Gemara says he made 9 takanas. One of the 9 takanas of, and they were all takanas de rabbanon. So one of the 9 takanas was that the first day Chalamayt Pesach, Yom Hanef, Kulay Osa, the day of Tenufa Sa'omer, you're not allowed to eat Chodesh a whole day long. So the Gemara suggests maybe it's a Takana de Rabbanon. That's what a Takana usually means. Then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, it was really a Din Deraisa. He darshaned the Pasuk like that. So what do you call a Takana? Dorash V'Hiskin. He darshaned the Pasuk and he popularized the Din that he darshaned that it's a real Din Deraisa. You're not allowed to Bismancha, Beis Amigdash Ayakayam. Havasa Omer is Mater Chodesh. Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayam Itzuma Shal Yoim is Mater, because the Pesach says you're not allowed to eat Chodesh. Lech Lekol Lekarmel Lasechlo Ad Etzem Hayam Azah Ad Haviyachem Mizayim Atnufo Ad Haviyachem. That's Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayam until you actually makriv the Minchas Omer. Ad Etzem Hayam Azah means Itzuma Shal Yoim, the day itself. When the day itself comes, then you're allowed to eat Chodesh. The Gemara says Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kayam Itzuma shel yom is mata. And how do you read that? Ad v'ad b'chlal, ad v'lo ad b'chlal. Till the day comes, till the morning of Tezayin Nisan, and until the night following Tezayin Nisan. Gemara says, ad v'ad b'chlal, till the night time. So how is it? How come it's called one of the 9 takanas of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai? The Gemara says, Dorash v'hiskin. The Gemara Menachah says that the word takana doesn't necessarily mean a takana de rabbana, it means a din deraisa. So that's how the Biri suggests that maybe the original takana says, 9 takanas says the word takanas derabbanan, and maybe this one that a balkeri is not permitted to balkeri palet shechlezer is not allowed to learn Torah. Maybe this he held was dorish to hiskin. That was a real din deraisa. So when it comes to a din deraisa, there is no requirement of ein bezn yochel levatel divres nachverem ken gadol menem rochem minyan. That's the klal. Uvasal shefet shehi b'yamim ahem en lochal shefet shebiyamecha yiftach bederek yishmol bedoro. The rabbanim who are qualified in every generation are entitled to express their entitled and obligated to express the honest, the goodness, the opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who preceded them, even if those who preceded them are greater b'chokhma v'minyan. And Moshe every so often in his tshuvas disagrees with the Nevi Yehuda, disagrees with the Chasam Sofer, so he was attacked for that. They attacked him. Who does he think he is, such an arrogant person? How does he think he had the right to disagree with the Nevi Yehuda? So those who remember Rav Moshe, he didn't die so many centuries ago. Rav Moshe was extremely humble. Rav Moshe, those who was extremely humble, and it wasn't an act. He was really humble. You would talk to him, he would be mechabed every person. He was really humble. He knew the Nari, he'd be the first one. Of course the Nari Behuda knew better than me. Of course the Chassam Sofer knew better than me. Rav Moshe said, it could be I'm not even entitled to an opinion, period. But he said, people keep on pressuring me. They want to know my opinion. The people think that I am entitled to an opinion. So if I'm entitled, said that the din says I'm permitted and obligated to express my honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who are greater. That's what the Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes quotes, Rambam quotes, and all the Rishonim quoted. Beginning of Masechah Shviyas, on the opening Mishnah in Shviyas, they quote the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Shviyas, that only when it comes to repealing a rabbinic enactment, if an earlier bezin made a takana de rabbanon, the later bezin can't repeal it. Ain bezin yochel levatel divrei bezin chaver to repeal a takana de rabbanon, unless the later bezin is greater b'chokhma v'min. But if you're talking about saying what is the din, you're darshaning a pasuk, you want to know what is the din derais. So b'shoah, that's what the Yerushalmi has a lashon. B'shoah she'asru la mikra samcha, b'shoah she'itiru la mikra samcha. if you're all working on the Chumash, you're all saying based on the Gemara. So everyone is, those who are knowledgeable, those who are entitled to an opinion, are entitled to their opinion. That's a problem. In every generation, it's nothing new happening in our every generation, there are crackpots who think that they're God's gift to the world. Such arrogant people, and they think that they're entitled to an opinion. They publish Svarim in Hebrew, Shalas and Chubas. Others don't even know how to write Hebrew, so they write in English. They think they're God's gift to the world. They can't spell. They can't spell Hebrew. So they write the books in English. No one should be able to chop them that they don't know Hebrew. And they use all the they use the internet and all the secondary sources. They don't know how to find anything. They don't know Chumash. They don't know Gemara. They don't know Tanakh. Nope. They're arrogant people in every generation who think they're entitled to an opinion. But those who are entitled to an opinion have to express their honest and goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who are greater for Chochmah of the Minyan. That's a famous... There's a Sefer Chut HaMashulash. It has a collection of the tshuvas of the three Rashi Yeshiva in Valozhina Yeshiva. Abchaim Valozhina was a student, so to speak, of the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon never gave classes. So it's hard to speak about a student of the Vilna Gaon. He's known as the most outstanding student of the Vilna Gaon. He said he felt so uncomfortable during his lifetime. How can I be called? He never gave any shiurim. He used to go twice a year, two or three times a year. He'll go ask the Vilna Gaon half an hour's worth of questions. That was the whole thing. That was called the student of the Vilna Gaon. Once in a while, the Vilna Gaon would be learning Mishle, and he would start saying, his biurim on the psukim. So one of the people who was there wrote it up. He's a student of the Vilna Gaon. He said, oh, Vertlach once in a time. So Rav Chaim Valozhin is the one who founded Valozhin Yeshiva. So this Shalosh Tshuvos Chut HaMashulas, the first third has the tshuvos of Rav Chaim Valozhin, and then you have the second and the third section have the tshuvos of his sons-in-law. Rav Hillel and Rav Blazer Richer has this. So people usually only read the first third. The tshuvos of Rav Chaim Valozhin, and then there are a few lines in the tshuvos that are famous because of their historical value, that are quoted not out of context, they're quoted correctly by the history books. So one of those lines is that when the Gaon gave instructions to Rav Chaim Valozhin, when you have a shaila, you have to go through the Gemara, and when you figure out what the din is, the Gemara Yishanim, you figure out the din is. You have to paskin the way you understand, and you're not allowed to follow the Shulchan Aruch if you're convinced that the Shulchan Aruch is wrong. The Vilna Gaon was sometimes convinced the Shulchan Aruch was wrong. Most other people are never so convinced. We're not so convinced that we're right. We can say Asvarahin, Asvarahin, but to be so convinced, to feel that we're so, we mastered all the literature, and we're so convinced the Shulchan Aruch is wrong, but that's the famous line. He says, if you follow the Shulchan Aruch and you think that he's wrong, you're not convinced that he's right, they're in violation of Lasisa Panim Badin. The din is you're not allowed to pass in the favor of the rich Balabas against the poor man because he's the president of the shul. You're going to pass in the favor of the poor man, it's Rahmanis, he needs the money. The rich man doesn't need all the money. So whoever passes in favor of the rich or in favor of the poor, ignoring what the merit of the case is in violation of Lasisa Panim. So that's what the Vilna Gaon told Rav Chaim Valozhin. If you paskin like the Shulchan Aruch and you're not convinced that the Shulchan Aruch is right, you think it's really wrong, that's a violation of the Lasisa Panim.
So why do we say that things that are in the Gemara, we can't, all the nations shall accept it, if really you're supposed to interpret it the way that you
see it? Right, so that says in Chosh Mishpat, Simen Chofei, that's a Simen of Tor B'Shikal Adas. That's a famous sugya, the most famous sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. Is Tor B'Shikal Adas. If the Bezin Paskin a Din Torah, and they made a mistake based on their misjudgment. So sometimes the Din requires, sometimes Halacha says Bezin has the right to reverse the Psak. Sometimes they have no right to reverse the Psak and they don't have to pay from their pocket. And sometimes they have no right to reverse the Psak and they have to make good, they have to pay from their pocket. So that's a big discussion in Simen Chofei, in Chosh Mishpat. Long shachs. Long riff, long balamor, long melchamas, a lot to say. Very famous sugya, Tor B'Shikal Adas. When we learned Sanhedrin in Rav Soloveitchik's class, it took 2 years. He did from cover to cover, and he skipped that sugya. He says, we're going to get to it. Then he came in the middle of the summer. He said, next week we're going to do Shikal Adas. He never showed up. There was no next week. He never showed up. He did the whole Masechta except for Tor B'Shikal Adas. So there the Ramah in Chosh Mishpat Simen Chafei has this line. He quotes from earlier from the Rishonim. What if you think the din is like this? He went through all the sources, and the Tshuvos HaGaonim say not so. So the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim. You better consult your contemporaries. Maybe you're making some major mistake. But if you consult with others and they think that you're right and you have rayas from the Gemara, so then you have a right to paskin against the Goyim. So then he says, so what about against the Gemara? You think that the Amorai made a mistake? You have a better pshat than the Mishnah, better pshat than the Chumash. And he says, no, you can't paskin against Amorai. So the Vilna Goyim there and the Bi'er Agroa is mitzayin to the Gemara and Bob Mitzia later. The Gemara says that they had snatches from the Sifra Shalot Amarishan. So it says in Bereshit, Zeh Sefer told us Odom. So the simple reading of the Pasuk sounds like the Chamish and Chumash Torah is the history of mankind. The Chumash is the history of mankind. Zeh Sefer told us Odom. How can it be? It's a Shvach history book, if that's the intention. So the Gemara says, no, it's an allusion to Sifra Shalot Amarishan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Odom Arishan how all of history is going to develop. People exercise their Bechira Chavshis, and history keeps on developing, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is pulling the strings from behind, pulling the strings from behind the scenes. He's seeing to it that history goes in a certain direction, and the same is regarding not only world history, Jewish history, regarding the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh also. So the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Odom Arishan Sifra, it's called Sifra Shel Odom Arishan, Dor Dor B'Darshav, Dor Dor B'Chachamav, Dor Dor B'Seifrav, and specific people were mentioned there. The Gemara Bava Metzia tells the story that Rabbi Shmuel were both students of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and they both wanted to go to Bavel to establish big yeshivas. There's taka mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but some rabbanim have to go to Chutz Lords to preach. Everyone should go to Eretz Yisrael and to paskin the shaylas kol zman that people are here. So Rabbi Shmuel left Eretz Yisrael. They were learned by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Went to Bavel to establish big yeshivas because there was rampant amaratzis and there was rampant violation of all the dinim, and they had to make takonas to rabbonis. So as it turned out, Rab got smicha and Shmuel didn't get any smicha. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi felt very bad about that. He didn't give smicha to Shmuel. And then one of the chachamim told him, Rebbe wasn't aware of this, I saw the Sifra Shalot Marishan, and it says there's going to be Rav Shmuel, and Rav is going to get smicha. Shmuel is not going to get smicha, so don't feel bad about it. That was the original plan of the Baruch Shalom. It's not that it's an accident of history. So also in Sifra Shalot Marishan, the Gemara quotes here and there snatches from it. So it says there, Ravina Ravashi Soif HaRuah. That's the end of the period of Paskin and Shailos. What do you mean? There are people alive today who are paskening shaylas. Why is that called Soif HaRuah? So the Vilna Gaon says that's what it means, that you can't argue whatever the consensus was in the days of the Chasimus HaTalmud, Ravina Rav Ashi, that's a cutoff point, Soif HaRuah, from the days of Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. Everyone has a right to disagree with anyone who preceded. From the days of Ravina Rav Ashi, you had the Rabbanan Savaroi, the Gaonim. So we a lot of times reject what the Rabbanan Savaroi said. We a lot of times disagree with the Gaonim. Very often, we disagree with the Gaonim, vehemently. And Achrayim disagree with Rishayim a lot of times. But these are two different periods in history. Up until Rabbi Rav Ashi is one period. So they have a right to disagree with all those who preceded them. Rabbi Rav Ashi had a right to disagree with Yeshua ben Nun. Can't disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we assume. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Taras Moshe, Zichah Taras Moshe Avdi, the Pasuk in the end of Malachi. Apparently Moshe Rabbeinu is the Balabos on the Taras. So whatever he says is final. Aaron HaKohen was disagreeing with Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was masking with him. If Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been masking, Aaron HaKohen would not go against Moshe Rabbeinu. He presented his case, that they shouldn't eat the soy Rosh Chodesh. So then Moshe Rabbeinu accepted his kal v'chomer, accepted his suggestion. But if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't agree, then you have no right to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it appears. So anybody after the days of Avinu Rav Ashi has a right to disagree with whoever preceded. So that's the question, what happened in the days of Avinu Rav Ashi? There's a concept of Chasimus HaTalmud. Why should that be so? Why is that so far wrong? So it's usually assumed, most of the history books assume, and most of the Achreinim assume, that even though Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the Mishnayos, they still used to recite Mishnayos Baal Peh until the days of Avinu Rav Ashi. It was only after the days of Avinu Rav Ashi that they used to learn Mishnayos Mitoch HaKsav. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the Mishnayos with respect to how they should recite it Baal Peh, but not that he edited it and then they published it and then people were learning Mishnayos Mitoch HaKsav. They were still learning Baal Peh. So that's where Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggests that maybe that's the Bi'ur HaDover. Until the days of Rav Ashi, the Torah Shebaal Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh. So those Talmid HaChamim, those who were entitled to an opinion, during that period, there were also people who weren't entitled to an opinion. Every generation. It's not a Chiddush of our generation. So those who were entitled to an opinion had a higher status, a higher level of Balei Masorah, because the Masorah of Torah Shema Alpeh was really being transmitted Balpeh. As opposed to after the period of Rav Ashi, all of our learning is done mitach haksav, so alpidin, it's a lower level of Chachmei HaMasorah. So, but we're all in the same boat. Well, from the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi till today, so everyone alpidin is in the same boat. And Rabbi Yehuda knew how to learn better than most people alive today. So you have to think more than twice before you want to disagree with the Rabbi Yehuda. But if one is really qualified to, if one is entitled to an opinion, that's questionable. If one is entitled to an opinion, then he's obligated to express his honest and goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with the Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what the Vilna Gaon claims, that line in the Ramah, that you have a right to disagree with Gaonim, but you have no right to disagree with what it says in the Gemara, said that's based on the Sefer Shalada Marishan that's quoted in Bab Metzi and Daf Peher. Rabbi Rav Ashi is Sefer Yiro.
Does that go together with Alpayim
Torah, the Pashtus is around the time of the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That was a while before Ravina Rabashi. That's a question, what happened at that time? The end of Alpayim Torah, according to the Gemara's calculation, should be about the time of the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi.
There are places in the Gemara where they quote people in Ravina Rabashi. Rabbi
Daigon,
and the
Rabbi
Ansarai. So, can we argue on those?
Yeah, that was added on after the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, yeah.
Including
Rabbi Rav Ashi? Including? Rabbi Rav Ashi. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the Rabbi added on things in the Gemara. Every so often there's a Gemara, then the Rishonim say this was added on after the days of Rabbi Rav Ashi, added on by the Rabbi Ansarai. So we don't always accept what the Rabbi Ansarai say. We often don't accept it. They had a totally different, I don't know, they were so close to the Amoraim. They had a totally different understanding. The Goyim was so much closer to the days of the Amoraim. But a lot of times, Rashi totally disagrees. Rashi and Tosis and all the Rishonim totally disagree with what the Goyim said.
Rabban also said about Dasam Lubanakma is to remember what went on in the mind of Tosinai,
where there was remember the Esh HaGdoyla and the Pachad and everything, right? To tell over the story the way it was. Tell over the whole story. So Kedusha's Beis HaMikdosh was created bidei Odom. Davin HaMelech had to be Mekadosh. The Gemara says in Zvachim Dav Chavdal that Rav Melech was Mekadosh. The Ritzbos HaHazor. Tosfos says, how can it be? And Mekadosh and Lo Bizman Binyan. So it should have been Mekadosh by Shlomo HaMelech. Davar Melech didn't build it as a good tekashe. So the Achrayim talk about that kashe. But the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdosh was created bidei Adam. Kedusha's Har Sinai, we didn't do anything. It was bidei Shamayim. So the level of Kedusha of Har Sinai, while it lasted, was a higher level of Kedusha. No one was allowed to go on Har Sinai. Behem Emish Lo Yichya. They would be Sokol Yisokol Hashor. They would give skila to the person or to the Behem. Behem Emish. They would give skill. And based on Migdash, there's no such din that you give skill to a person that walks where he doesn't belong. There's no such din. So this man that the Kedusha was present on Har Sinai, it was more intense because the Kedusha was Bidei Shemayim. But then the Kedusha disappeared. So that's how the Meshach Chachma points out. In order to have an everlasting Kedusha, you have to have that it should be created Bidei Adam. Kedusha Bidei Shemayim is going to have a Maila, but it's going to have a Chisona. Be a Maila while it's there, it'll be more fierce, it'll be stronger. But then b'mshech b'keren al yevi hema yale b'har, when they hear the tkiya shofar, the show is over. That's the end of Maimon Har Sinai. When you hear the shofar, so it's all over, so everyone can climb up on Har Sinai. Rabbi Gorin climbed up on Har Sinai. The Sinai campaign, that was before you were born. Sinai campaigns, he went on Har Sinai and he blew shofar. Yeah. There's a Ramban in his commentary on Parshas Yisro, on the Aseres Adibra, Zocher Siyam Shabbos Lekatshay. So the Gemara says, Zocher means you should recite Kiddush. How does it come to mean, recite Kiddush? So Rav Soloveitchik explains, Zochor in Hebrew sometimes means to remember, and sometimes the verb means lahazkir, to mention, to speak about something. So the Gemara in Megillah, in the first paragraph of Megillah, comments on Zohar is Shas Halacha Amalek. What does it mean? You should remember what Amalek did. No, it says the last two words in the parsha say Lois Ishkach. Harei Shikchas Aleiv Amor. Hamani Mekayim Zohar. Zohar has to be Bepeh. So Zohar as Shas Halacha Amalek means Lahaskir. Mention. Talk about what Amalek did. And the same thing the Gemara says, how do you know that you have to read the Megillah on Purim? It never says that. It says in the Megillah, it says, Shalach Manas, Matanas Lev Yonim, Mishta B'Simcha, drinking, Adalayadas, Mishta, Simcha, everything says, but Kriyas HaMegillah doesn't say it all. So where do we get the sign from that we have to read the Megillah? The Gemara says on the first daf in Megillah, Hayamim Ha'ela, Nizkarim, Vina'asim. Nizkarim means that they're spoken of, not that they are remembered. Yamim Ha'ela are spoken of, namely, Mikra Megillah. So the Mikra Megillah is understood from the Pasuk, Hayam Ha'ela Nizkarim. Similarly over here, the Tanoim understood, they had a tradition, Zohar is Yom Shabbos, Lekatcha means mention the Kedusha Sayyim of Shabbos, to sanctify. What do you mean to sanctify? So the Ramban says, Shabbos is Kviyah V'kaima from Sheshes Mei Bereshes. It says, V'yivarech Elokim Asiyam HaShvei V'yikadosh Oseh, the Ribbono Shel Olam was Mekadosh Shabbos, as opposed to Yontif, we have to create Kedusha Sayyim of Yontif. And Yontif, when we daven, when we say Kiddush, so we say Mekadosh Yisrael V'hazmanin. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadosh us, and we in turn are Mekadosh Rosh HaKadosh, and we are Mekadosh Yamim Tovim. On Shabbos, there was a machlokes in the Gemara, and we pass, you don't say Mekadosh Yisrael v'HaShabbos, we say Mekadosh HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed Shabbos with Kedusha directly. That's Kviyah V'Kaima from Sheshes and Eberesheshes. So the Ramban says on Chumash, that's the mitzvah of Kiddush, we should Zohar Yom HaShabbos, Likacho, to endow an additional level of Kedusha to the day of Shabbos, that it should have Kedusha B'Dei Odom. In addition to the Kedusha B'Dei Shamayim that it has already, we should superimpose the Kedusha B'Dei Odom onto the Shabbos. We even have a din of Tosefa Shabbos. Machlokes HaRishonim, whether there is such a din. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Balei HaTosfos, Yesh Omrim, the Rambam knows that the Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam writes, Yesh Omrim, Shitas, many Rishonim, most of the Rishonim is, that it's a mitzvah lahos mechol al kodesh. That's not kviya v'kaima. We are the ones who make Tosefes Shabbos. We want to add on to the Kedushas HaShabbos. We have such a similar din by Karbonis. All the Karbonis are Kedushas Peh, person designates a Noila, Shlomim, Machatos, a Karbon Pesach, whatever, except for Bchor. Bchor is Kodesh Meirechem. When it's born, it's Kodesh by itself. So Rebbe, the Tana, Rebbe Yudah Nasi, learns that from the Pasuk, what do you mean, Tagdish? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa that Rebbe used to say, the farmer has a mitzvah to superimpose Kedusha B'dei Adam onto the Kedusha B'dei Shamayim. It's a mitzvah l'hagdish. All the other karbonis, if you won't be Magdish, it won't be Kodesh. Maybe you can be Magdish B'Leiv. That's a question in the Gemara. Maybe Kedusha is Chal B'Leiv. But the person has to be Magdish. That's why it's called the Dova HaNodur. If a person takes a neder not to eat potato chips. So if he's going to make hatfasa, he's going to say the potato chips and the cookies and all the ice cream, everything should be like chazer. So the Mishnah says that that's not a good hatfasa. That's hatfasa b'dover ha'osur. But if he says the potato chips and the ice cream and the cookies should be like carbon shlamim, carbon ayla, that's called hatfasa b'dover ha'nodur, because the person creates the Kedusha, the person creates the Issa Kodesh on the Korban. So the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanan. What if you say, this should be like a Korban Bechor? On the one hand, Bechor is Kodesh Me'elov, it's Kodesh Me'erechem when it's born. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Mitzvah L'Hagdishai. You superimpose the Kedusha B'dei Adam on top of the Kedusha B'dei Shamayim. So that's a machlokes HaTanan with that. That's called Hatfasa B'dover HaOsur, Hatfasa B'dover HaNodur. There's a famous Rambam has what seems to be a very complicated psak on that. And Raibit says, what in the world is he talking about? Dabala Soloveitchik has a beautiful explanation and a sefer on that. So that's a whole discussion in the Gemara about Bchor, whether Bchor has the status of Dabar Hanor or Dabar Asar. So similar to Bchor, it's Kodesh Me'ela, but it's a mitzvah Hagdishai. So that's why the Ramban says over here, Zochas Yom Shabbos Likacho, you should mention the Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos and superimpose the Kedusha B'dei Adam on top of the Kedusha B'dei Shamayim. Years ago, the Mishnah says in Tamid, Maseches Tamid, that in the Beis Hamikdash, when they used to daven Shachris, people make a mistake. They think in the days in the Beis Hamikdash, when they brought karbonas, they didn't daven. No, it says Beferish, they daven Musaf also. They daven Musaf. Musaf is not a substitute today. Musaf is a substitute for the karbonas. And the Shama forms are saying that the best we can do under the circumstances, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, but can't be makar of the karbonas. But even Mizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, the Gemara in Sukkah gives you the program, the Seder HaYoyim, when they had the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So I said, they brought the Tom Shashach and they daven Shachris, and they brought the Musaf and they daven Musaf, and they brought the Tom Shabbein HaBayim and they daven Mincha. They daven everything Mizman HaMikdash also. The Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei was different. They didn't say V'sachzen HaNenim, Shub Chalitzim, Berachmim. They said, Shavos Chalabat Chabir HaNavet, they're bringing the Karbonis. And the tefillahs where the musaf was that the korban musaf should be accepted beratzen. It's a b'amcha yisrael b'sfilosim, not v'hoshev asavoida. Except the korbanos, the nusach was different, but they always used to daven. So the Mishnah describes a maseches tamid the way they used to daven every day, and they used to recite aseres hadibros in the daily tefillah. And then the Gemara says in brachas that in different generations they considered the possibility of instituting aseres hadibros into shachris, and it was always decided against it. Mipnei tarumas aminim, because of the apikursim. What does mean tarumas aminim? So Rashi writes, the minim, the apikursim, will say that only there are only 10 mitzvahs min hashamayim. The other 603 mitzvahs were invented by the later generation. There are no taryag mitzvahs atar. I remember years ago, there used to be balabatim, only came to shul, Roshani, Yom Kippur, and Pesach, Shavua, Sukkos. But they used to come to an Orthodox shul. Now, the Orthodox shuls are so Orthodox that these people feel so uncomfortable. At least the most of the people in an Orthodox shul used to come Yom Kippur with shoes on. They didn't know there's a din of nilus asam. The rabbis wouldn't tell them what they go. They chased the people away from shul. They were happy they were coming to an Orthodox shul. And the second day Yontif, more than half the people were clean shaven. They would shave before they came to shul. These people would come to an Orthodox shul. And now the Orthodox are so, most of the Orthodox shuls are so Orthodox, these people will feel out of place. I remember once I was carrying on a conversation with one of the people, came to shul just Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavua, Sukkos. We were talking about how many mitzvahs. He said, there are only 10 mitzvahs. Aseres Hadibros. I said, there's 630 mitzvahs. He never heard of it. Never heard of 630 mitzvahs. So that's what Rashi writes. If you're gonna say every day Aseres Hadibros, Tarumas Amina means that people will think that there are only 10 mitzvahs min Hashemayim and the rest were invented by the rabbis. Others want to say differently. Tarumas Aminim, the history books, they want to say Tarumas Aminim maybe does mean what Rashi said. Why didn't Rashi say Tarumas Aminim? That there's a contradiction between the way it's presented in Parshas Yisro and the way it's presented in Parshas Vaschanan. There are contradictions. The Gemara points out the contradiction of Zoch v'Shomer. But there are more. The Ramban says there are more contradictions. Others want to say that's the Tarumas Aminim. Why did Rashi give his pshat? The answer is because what Rashi wrote, that's what it says Beferish in the Yerushalmi. It says Tarumas Aminim, that the Aminim will say only Tana Min Hashemayim. So Rashi's pshat is what it says in Yerushalmi. That's the history books presented. So why did Rashi get this wild pshat? Why didn't he say the better pshat? Rashi wrote the true pshat. Because that's what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Tarumas Aminim means that they'll tumul, that there are only 10 mitzvahs min Hashemayim. The Rambam has a famous tshuva where he says that it's not proper. Many have the practice by Kriyas HaTorah, everybody sits, except when it comes to Aseres HaDibros, everybody stands. So he's giving more chashivas to the Aseres HaDibros than to the rest of the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rambam says that's against the Din and the Gemara. The Gemara says you're not allowed to show any special chashivas to the Aseres HaDibros because of Tarumas Aminim. I have a collection of tshuvas, Tshuva Shai, by one of the Hungarian Gedolim from before the Second World War. So he writes about the fact that in a lot of shuls you have on the paroches Aseres HaDibros. You have Aleph Beis Gimel Daleh Hey, you have Anochi, Lo, you have one letter, Kabed, you have one word, and so on. So he says, but how are you allowed to give chashivas to the Aseres HaDibros more so than the rest of the Torah? So he's guessing, so he thinks this must have been introduced by the Neologen, by the modern Orthodox in Hungary who were on the way to becoming a conservative. He doesn't believe that they ever had a paroches with Aseres HaDibros in the earlier generations. people say it's just not true, that they always had pareches and with aseres adibis on it. The kasha is a good kasha. Why did they pick this? But they had pareches in from hundreds of years ago, before the reform movement began in Germany and in Hungary and so on. In some communities that did recite in the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur and the Mechaber, they recommend that if one has time, you should say Parshas Haman every day. You should say Parshas Hakeh. You should say Aseres Adibris every day. So a lot of Sidurim that have printed Aseres Adibris. So some said it before Shachris, some said it after Shachris, but there wasn't really part that the Tur says, but the Gemara says they prohibited reading Parshas Aseres Adibris is Bitzibur, but the Yochid, it's okay. And others, they say the Arizal was opposed to even B'yochid. You shouldn't say even B'yochid. So the different communities have different practices regarding the reciting of Aseres Adibros. The Gemara says that Maimon HaSinai was the gayest of all of Klal Yisrael. We learned Yevamos last year. So the Gemara says that Rambam quotes all of this in Hilchos Yisuri Bia. When he quotes, one is not permitted to marry a non-Jewish spouse. And unless the person converted, then they're allowed to marry a Jewish person. The Rambam says, how does a man convert? You have Mila, Tvila, Korban, and Kabbalah al Mitzvah. So the Mila was in Mitzrayim, the Gemara says. Everybody had a bris Mila before the Korban Pesach. The Tvila was before Maamid HaSinai. And the Chumash, it only says, there was Tvila for the married people, the men who may be Balkari and the women who may be Polet and Shechva Zera. But the Gemara points out that everybody, even the single people, had to go to Mikveh. The married people had to be Purish Minishaseim for 3 days in advance. It shouldn't be Polet to Shichlazera. And the single people, everyone had to go Mikveh because of the Geras. A Ger has to have Mikveh. Kabbalah on Mitzvah was that they said Nasa, then they said Nasa and Ishma. That was the Kabbalah on Mitzvah. In the end, the Parshas Mishpatim, it says that they had to bring a Korbanus. That's the institution of Korban HaGer. The Gemara raises a question in Maseches Krisis, Daf Tesam and Aleph. How do you know that you have the ability to be Mekabel Ager B'zman Hazeh? If you don't have any Beis HaMikdosh, you don't have the possibility of bringing the Karbonis, and maybe the Karbonis are Miyakev. So the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that Karbonis are not Miyakev. But B'zman Sheh Beis HaMikdosh HaYikayam, the Ger, who was Nizgayer, had the Milon, Tefillin, Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. How to bring a Ger? How to bring a Karbon? The Din was he was supposed to bring a Karbon. Kozman, he doesn't bring the carbon. Rambam just quotes when the Gemara increases. And the Gemara is quoting from a Tosefta that the Ger had a din like Mechusa Kippurim. The Ger should is got, any Jew is permitted to eat, if the Jew is Tahar, is permitted to eat at the Besar Shlomen. To eat Chatas and Asham, you have to be a Kohen. You have to eat in the Azara. Zichar Kuna, Yom Elayla Ad Chatzos in the Azara. But to eat Shlomen, you can eat in Yerushalayim as long as you're Jewish and you're Tahar. You don't give it to a non-Jew to eat. So if a ger was nizgai and he didn't yet bring the korban hager, he's considered like a mechusik kippurim that he's not allowed to eat shlomim. That's the whole din that he's missing b'miktsas kedushas yisrael. That's the poshib shat in the gemara. The Avnei Nezer has a whole fantastic wild tshuva. Iluyish. He makes the yukim. He wants to say that he claims that there is shanim ahodav is mancha b'smikdusha yikayim. If the ger wouldn't bring the karbonis, he wouldn't be Jewish. The karbon would be miyakev. That's not the poshib shat anymore. Poshib shat that the karbon was never miyakev. It was miyakev that the ger had a status like a mechusik kippur, that he wouldn't be allowed to eat. That's how the Rambam quotes him in the Tosefta. He wouldn't be allowed to eat shlomen. There's a machlokes hatanoim, which the Ramban quotes. It's very strange, Machlok is Rashi and the Ramban. Which Tana do they think makes more sense? Was the Geiris completed prior to Maimon HaSinai? And Maimon HaSinai was for the Jews? Oh no, the Geiris was after Maimon HaSinai. Maimon HaSinai was for the non-Jews. They weren't Jewish yet. The Kedusha says, so that's the Rav Soloveitchik. Maimon HaSinai was for the Jews or for the non-Jews? Who were the Jews? The descendants of Avraham Yitzchak. Were they Jewish already before or not? So Rashi understands. Rashi in several places in Chumash invokes the Maimon Chazal, Emugdam Umiucha Batar. The Chumash was not intended to be a history book. You don't understand this Sefer told the Sodom. Chumash was never intended as a history book. And when you have stories in the Chumash, it doesn't necessarily mean that it happened in that order. So Rashi is very free in applying that Klal Emugdam Umiucha Batar. In several places in Chumash, Ramban in his commentary disagrees with Rashi. Says a mukta milcha b'teres. If you have a hechrich, if you have a raya that is out of order, so we say okay, the chumash is not in order. But if you don't have a hechrich, just to apply it loosely, he doesn't like that. The Ramban quotes that this issue is a machlokes hatanoim in the mechilta. Rashi took a stand like one tana, and the Ramban takes a stand like the other tana. Very strange. Each one thinks the other tana makes sense. So the Rashi took the position that the korban hager, korban geris that was mentioned in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, really completed the geris before Ma'amid Hasina. The Jewish people were Jewish already, and Ma'amid Hasina was after they already had the conversion, after they already had the whole geris. So what was Ma'amid Hasina all about? Lima Torah. The Jewish people have to learn Torah. And the Lima HaTorah was Be'ema B'yira B'resas of Aziyah, to show that in all the future generations, that's how we should all learn, that's how we should all transmit the Torah from generation to generation. The same way Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah at Hasina and transmitted it to us, that's how we should receive, that's how we should transmit the Torah to the next generation. That's the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Rambam. Rei limadati eschem uchukim mimishpotim kasher tzivani Hashem alokoi. So the Gemara Kiddushin and Bchoris and different Mesichtas and Dharm, the Gemara in different places interprets. The Pasha Peshad means, Rei limadati eschem uchukim mimishpotim, I taught you the dinim as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to teach you the dinim. That's the Pasha Peshad. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. I taught you the Torah the same way God taught me the Torah at Hasina. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't charge me tuition when I was on top of Hasina when he taught me Kol HaTorah Kulo, so I didn't charge you any tuition when I taught you the Torah. In the same fashion. I remember Dr. Lim was once, they were asking, when the Galochim came once to the yeshiva, so they asked Dr. Lim, how do you run the school? So he didn't know what they want. He didn't know what they wanted. So he starts saying, translating Ma'amar Chazal into English. So he says, well, we don't charge any tuition. Just like when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God didn't charge him any tuition. So too, when Moses taught the Torah to the Jewish people, they didn't charge any tuition. So they all broke out into laughter. He was saying, over Agamar. He's saying, oh. So they said, so how do you pay the salaries of the teacher? So he said, we have a Malama Malkus, and we raise money. They never heard of that. Yeah. They were trying to figure out how come, he said in different, yeah, trying to figure out how come in Europe, anyone who goes to university doesn't want to go to a theological seminary. There's a contradiction. So how come by us? We have the college classes in the same rooms with the learning, in the same institution. And say, how come by us there's no contradiction? So they kept on asking, what's the secret to success? How did yeshiva? So he didn't know what he's supposed to tell him. So he told him, we don't charge any tuition, and so on. He didn't know what's the answer supposed to be. So Rashi invokes this Maimon Chazal, Emuk de Memucha Batorah. Yisro tells about Maimon HaSinai, and Mishpatim, and the other Mishpatim, tells about the Korban HaGer. So Rashi says it's out of order. That's one Tana says like that. Really, the Geris was completed before. Ma'amin Hasina was after we already were in his Geir, and this was the form of Limud HaTorah. However, Kishem Shinitna HaTorah Be'ema B'yira B'resas of Aziyah, so too it should be transmitted through all the generations, Be'ema B'yira B'resas of Aziyah. The Torah should be given in a serious fashion. The Gemara in the end of Ksubis discusses there were Amoraim who used to start off the shiur with a milsa dibdichusa. So the Gemara says, how are you allowed to do that? A lot of crack jokes in the middle of the shiur. The pasuk says in Shir Hashir, the Gemara has a comment on a pasuk. Kol Talmud Hayoshev Lifnei Rabbah Bein Tzivsoso Notvos Ma'oiver Tichvena. If a Talmud sits in the shiur and his lips don't quiver from pachad when the Rebbe is saying over the shiur, so the Talmud deserves that his lips should be burned, based on a pasuk in Shir Hashir. So how can it be but if the Rebbe's cracking jokes? So the Gemara gives two terutz. So the Gemara gives one terutz. The Rebbe should start with the Milsa Dibdichusa, but that's all. After he starts the shiur, he's not allowed to crack any jokes in the middle of the shiur. Everything has to be dead serious. There are some who don't observe that opinion in the Gemara. Then the Gemara gives the other opinion. The Rebbe can crack all the jokes he wants to, but the Talmidim are not allowed to laugh. The Talmidim have to sit there with Ve'ema B'yira B'resus of Aziyah. I remember I once heard a shiur from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. I said over the shiur the other day about How come the Gemara in Kiddushin says it's a din deraisa, and the Gemara over here is beferish? We'll get to it later in the first parak. It's only a din derabbanan. He said the Shir Rab David Lifshin said that he said that it's Rab Shimon Shkops. Rab Soldation said it from Rab Chaim. Yeah. So remember Rab Chaim Shmulev. It's in the middle of the Shir. It was kibitzing. The Talmidim would sit there with a straight face. They wouldn't even smile. No, they're not allowed to smile. He was a Levedik. Rab Chaim Shmulev was a Levedik when he gave the Shir. But the Talmidim were a little over serious. Okay, that's according to one opinion of the Gemara. That's where it's supposed to be. The other opinion, the Rebbe's not allowed to crack any jokes in the middle of the Shir. Only before the Shia begins. So the Ramban doesn't like this opinion of this Tana. He thinks more correct is like the other Tana. He admits himself as Machlokes HaTana. He said Ramban in more than one place, quite a few places in Chumash, disagrees with Rashi on this point of Emuk, the Melucham Batar. He says we only invoke that idea when it's a hechrich in the psukim that it's out of order. He said, here there's no hechrich. So more correct is to assume that Maimon HaSinai was part of the Geirus, which was not completed till after Maimon HaSinai. So they really weren't Jewish. That's how Rav Soloveitchik gets to say in his startling style, Maimon HaSinai was for the Goyim. Rashi held Maimon HaSinai was for the Jews. They had already converted before. So what was the Maimon HaSinai? It wasn't the dogma how to learn Torah. It was the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The Gemara says in Yevamos, in the middle of Sugya with the Geiris, that when the Geir is about to become Jewish, you have to be Modim, also you have to notify him, Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Kalos, and Mitzvahs, Mitzvahs, Chamuras. You don't have to tell him all the 613 mitzvahs, you tell him highlights. And let's say when the Geir is in the mikveh, submerged in the water up to his neck. So then you have to have, you repeat again, Haiduas on mitzvahs. He'll catch pneumonia if you're going to go through all the 613 mitzvahs. He's standing in the water there. It'll take an hour. It'll take a few hours till. So we usually talk about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. Highlights of the mitzvahs: easy mitzvahs, difficult mitzvahs. Ramban says the Aseres HaDibros are a random sampling of some of the more difficult mitzvahs and some of the easier mitzvahs. That's what people say. We're still looking for the easier. Which ones are the Aseres HaDibros are the easier mitzvahs? They all seem to be pretty difficult. That's the lashon of the Gemara. The Ramban quotes: "Medim osa mitzvahs mitzvahs kalas, or mitzvahs mitzvahs chamuras." So the Ramban holds that the Maimon HaSinai was the haidoas hamitzvahs for Klal Yisrael, and then the Geirus was completed after Maimon HaSinai. The psukim are all written in order. After Yisrael comes Mishpatim, and then the Karbonas HaGeir was brought after Maimon HaSinai. Rashi, Lushitasa, understood like the Tanoim that the Kabbalah's Geirus already took place, the whole Maisa Geirus already took place, and Maimon HaSinai was Limud HaTorah. There was a big Talmud Torah Barabim. So that's why Rashi, Lushitasa, quotes from the Rabbeinu Sadigon that the Aseres HaDibros are the basic 10 principles that all of the 613 mitzvahs can be subsumed under. These are the 10 basic headings. There's no leket shikrapeh. Okay. The Gemara mentions leket shikrapeh. Yeah, which are the easier mitzvahs? We're not sure. Which mitzvahs are easy in Aseres HaDibros?
Aren't the Rabbanim's or Chatzim that the Ramban folks, they already had a din Yisrael, even the Yavos had a din Yisrael. What was the purpose of the Gemara?
That's a good question, but that's what the Gemara says. We learn out all the laws of Geiris from Maimon HaSinai. So what was the need for Geirus if we already had the Din of Yisrael before Maimon HaSinai? It's a good question. Raman has a machlokes with the Bali HaTosfos, whether the Ovis Kodem Matan Torah or Yotzu, that's what it sounds, that's how the Mishlei Melech understood it. Mishlei Melech in his little Drush Sefer called Parashas Drachim understood that this was a machlokes, the Ramban and Parashas Emor, the Ramban and the Bali HaTosfos, whether the Ovis Kodem Matan Torah had the Din of Bnei Yisrael or they still had the Din of Bnei Noach. So Tosfos says they still had a din of Bnei Noach. Tosfos in the end of Cheskas Habatim is bothered with the kasha. We say that Meisei Akam are not Matami Ba'ohel, only Meisei saw Matami Ba'ohel. So the Gemara says Rabbi Bano'o was an Amora. It was his responsibility to be Mitzayim the Kvorim in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be Mitzayim, you have to put markers so the Kohanim will know where they're not allowed to go. So the Gemara says, you only have to put a tzion. The Gemara says, you only put a tzion on a kever if it's metami ba'ohel, so the kohanim are not allowed to go. If the tumah is not metami, not every tumah space is metami ba'ohel. It's not mitamvah, you're not mitzayin. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Pano, the Gemara says, and the other cheska batim, Rabbi Pano had to be mitzayin, the Moris HaMachpelah, because Kohanim are not allowed to go into the Moris HaMachpelah. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva that he wrote after the Six-Day War, after they got back the Moris HaMachpelah. So he quotes from some sefer that was written in the days of the Achronim, that the structure on top of the Moris HaMachpelah was built in such a way that the Tumas HaMei shouldn't go up. So he says, Kohanim are allowed to go. How did someone who lived in the 1500s know that Moris HaMachpelah was built in the days of the Baal Sheni? How did they know that it was built in such a way? I don't know. Very strange to me. But the Gemara says that, the Gemara says, Ne'eches Kabatim, that Kohanim are not allowed to go into the Moris HaMachpelah because of Tumas oil. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, but who's buried there in Moris HaMachpelah? Goyim, Avram, Yitzchak, Yank, Avodim Arishan. Nobody Jewish is there. So if you hold the Meisi Akama, not Metami Ba'oil, so what's the problem? Why do you need Tzimun HaKvaris? So Tosfos answers, well, how do you know Meisi Akama, not Metami Ba'oil? Because it says, Odom Ki Yomus Ba'oil. Odom Arishan was Odom. So Odom Arishan is Metami Ba'oil. Then Tosfos says, Avram Avinu is referred to in the Navi as Odom HaGadol Ba'anokim. So Avram Avinu, even though he wasn't Jewish, he was Odom HaGadol. So these two are Metami Ba'oil. So the Ramban makes fun of the Balei HaTosfos and the Chidushim in the end of Cheskabat. He said, what do you mean? They were Jewish. Avram Yitzchak, of course they were Jewish. So that's the Pashup Pshat and the Machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban, whether the others, that's how the Mishlam Melech understood. And they say that's the first essay that he's famous for, that essay. Whether the others got him out there, were Yotze B'chlal ben Enoch, or not, that they have the Din of Yisrael. So that's the question. If they had a Din of Yisrael all the way back from the days that Avram Avinu was Nitztav al Amila, so what did they need another Geirus now? Why was there a need for another Geirus? So the Pashtus is that Avram Avinu had a Kedushas Yisrael b'miktsas. Kedusha means Kedushana b'mitzvahs avitzivanu. Kedusha means that you have a mitzvah that doesn't apply to other people. Kohanim and Levim have more mitzvahs than Yisraelim, so they have, there's a Kedushas Leviya, there's a Kedushas Kahuna. The Jews have 630 mitzvahs, the Umas Olam only have 7 mitzvahs ben Enoch, so we have a Kedushas Yisrael. He said, the Mishnah describes, Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mekol HaRotzos Shem Mivim Imenu Ha'imer Eshtei Alechem. Kedusha means that they're enough Kaminas LaHalocha. No such thing as Kedusha Arti Lois, just abstract English. Kedusha means Negeh LaHalocha. Harbais has Kedusha, a person is Tuma Yotzal Lemeglufa, is not allowed to go. Azor has Kedusha, even a Tommy Mace is not allowed to go. Every place, every person has Kedusha means that it's relevant halacha l'maisa. So Avram Avinu had a Kedusha Yisrael b'miktsas, because he only had one additional mitzvah. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Yitzchak Avinu. He gave him a deeper degree of Kedusha. He was given an additional mitzvah. Hifrish Maisris, the Rambam quotes from the Medrash Rambam. The Yaakov Avinu was Nitztav an Gid Anoshi. He was given an additional mitzvah. Then in Mitzrayim they were given more mitzvahs. So then on the Kesh Maim and Hasim they were going to be given all the 613 mitzvahs. So that's why they needed a new Maisa Geirus. That's a Rav Soloveitchik thought. As a compromise in the Machloikas HaRishonim, whether the Ovis Kodem HaTor Yotze Mechlal Ben Enoch or not, so he thought, yeah, Yotze Mechlal Ben Enoch, but Avram Avinu didn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. Yitzchak had a fuller Kedusha and Yankov had a fuller Kedusha. And then, to the extent that you have mitzvahs, to that extent you have a Kedushas Yisroel. So that's why they needed a Geirus at Har Sinai to be Mechayev in all of the mitzvahs. We have a minig that on Shavuos we read Rus. Minig is mentioned in Masechus Sofrim to read before Shavuos, after Shavuos. Divide a little bit. The first day, second day, different varieties of Minhagim. So they give different reasons why. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that Shavuos is the Yontav of Geirus. All of Klal Yisrael underwent Geirus. And Rus says that from the 24th Sifrei HaTanach, Rus is the Sefer where the theme is Geirus. Rus HaMa'aviyo is Mekabal all mitzvahs on her way back to Eretz Yisrael. She says, I'm a Chami Velakai Chalukoi. She converted. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes from the Mechilta, much of what Rashi writes is from the Mechilta. Vaydaber Elokim Eskol HaDvarim Ha'ele Leimor. Mazeh Leimor. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. So the Gemara says in Yuma, the first peg, Leimor means Leimor LeYisrael. Leimor LeYisrael doesn't mean saying. So we spoke, Oz Yosha Moshe Menes HaShios HaVayomu Leimor. How come it says Leimor? So the Gemara had the Mishnah in Saita has a whole machlokes satanaim. How do you understand the word lema? So what's over here also? If the word lema, Redab Bashanu Moshe lema, means lema li Israel, does mean saying. So how do you translate Redab Lakim is called Dvarim Ho'ele? Lemar. What's lemar? So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, lemar, to evoke a response for Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael had to agree. After they heard each of the Aseres Adibris, they had to be masking the peh. That is say, we're masking. That's when you have a ger who's in the mikveh and he's mekabel all mitzvahs. So usually one of the three members of the bezin says, do you accept upon yourself to observe Shabbos? So they should say yes. You accept to observe kashrus? Yes. They should answer yes. Like over here, Arsina lema means to evoke a response. So the mechilta has an unclear machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel regarding what was the response supposed to be. So Rashi quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Instead of quoting Rabbi Akiva, Rashi quotes Rabbi Shmuel. Al hen hen va lav lav. When the Rabban Shalom said you should say Kiddush on Shabbos, they all said yes, we're going to say Kiddush on Shabbos. When the Rabban Shalom said Loisisa Shem Shem Al Kach Lav Shabbos, they said no, we're not going to do it. When he said Loisirtzach, they said no. When they said Loisinab, they said no, we're not going to do it. And Rabbi Akiva says no. Al hen hen va lav hen. They said yes. After each one of the Aseres Adibris, they said yes. So it's very unclear what exactly is the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, whether they said a lav hen or a lav lav. What was the response? What's the difference? But they say yes, they say no. It means the same thing, that they're committing themselves to observe all of the Aseres Adibris. Very unclear. So the Ragachover has a fantastic suggestion on this. He says that in Bava Kamma, in the middle of Bava Kamma, in the Lamed, there's a machlokes regarding the din of a short tam peis chatzi nezek. Migufo. What does it mean, migufo? So Rabbi Akiva, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, yuchlat hashor the nizik. Let's say a short tam made a hezek of $1,000, so the bala shor has to only pay chatzi nezek, $500, and the shor is worth $500 or more. So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, the shor, or part of the shor, now belongs to the nizik. Yuchlat hashor the nizik. The shor automatically belongs to the nizik. It's knas, you have to have a psaka bezin. The Gemara has a machlekes in Bava Kamma Tezvav and the base, whether chatzi nezek of shortam palganiska is knas amama. We pass in knas. And knas ain't on a mishalom al piyatzmo. Even if you want to volunteer on your own, there's no kiyum, it's an oinish. So you have to have a psak of a bezin. But if the bezin gives the psak, then Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, yuchla tashor le nezek, the animal automatically, or a percentage of the animal. Let's say the payment's worth $600. And the nezik is $1,000, so chatzin nezik is $500. So 5/6 of the value of the behema of the shor mazik belongs to the nezik, and 1/6, $100 worth belongs to the original owner of the mazik. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees and says yushem hashor. Just have to make a shuma to ascertain is the shor worth $500 or more. Okay, so then the bala shor has to pay, but not that the nezik becomes a shuta for the makla yuchlat hashor le nezik. So the Ragachavit, that's Rabbi Shmuel. We don't pass like Rabbi Shmuel, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Yuchlat Asher the Nizik, the chur itself belongs to the Nizik. So the Ragachavit has a suggestion that runs as follows. In Yerideya, I think Simon Reshu Dalit, Nehilchas Nedorim, the Mechaba quotes two opinions from the Chuvas HaRashba. When the Torah prohibits Basa B'cholov and Macholas HaSuris and so on, is this an Issa Chepza or is this an Issa Gabra? Machloikas HaRishayim. The Gemara says on the first daf in the Dharm, the first piece of Gemara, the Gemara says that Shvua is an Issa Gabra and there there is an Issa Chepza. There there's an Issa Chepza because Hegdish is an Issa Chepza. Hegdish is the exception to the rule and there there is like Hegdish, Hatvasa the Hegdish, and every other Issa Torah is an Issa Gabra. But he say no, all Issa Torah are Issa Chepza and Shvua is only an Issa Gabra. So that's a major machlokes of Rishonim with ramifications halacha lemais. In Yerideya, the Mechaber quotes one line, Mechaber quotes the two opinions from the Chuvas HaRashba. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Chuvas HaRashba is Simon Tov Reish Yudalit, and Yerideya it's Simon Reish Yudalit. Hasn't just been mikre, it happens to be so. So the Ragachava thinks that this is the machlokes HaTanoim, whether all Yisiri Torah, when the Torah made dinim, are there only dinim on the Gavra, or does the Torah declare a din and it changes the Cheftze? So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, Yuchlat Ashor, the shore now belongs to the Nizik. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, Yushem Ashor, it's a din, the Baal Ashor has to pay, we have to calculate how much the shore Hamazik is worth. If it's worth $500 or more, then the owner of the shore Hamazik has to pay from his pocket. But it's not that the shore actually transfers ownership after the Gmardin and the Bezin that it becomes Yuchlat Ashor. So Rabbi Rogachover writes in one place, he thinks that this was the Machloikas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel over here. Rabbi Shmuel's Rashi quoted Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. When the Rebbe Shalom said a mitzvah sase, say Kiddush and do Kibbut Aviyem, they said, yes, we're going to say Kiddush and do Kibbut Aviyem. When the Rebbe Shalom said Lois Sirtzach, they said, no, we're not going to do it. And so Lois Sinup, they said, no, we're not going to do it. Everything was on the Gavra. The mitzvah was on the Gavra, and the Yisurim are on the Gavra. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. He said, Al Hen, Hen, Val Av Hen. They said, Hen on everything, that all of the Yisur Torah were Chal in the Heftza. A suggestion. That's very unclear. Very unclear. What is exactly the Machlekes Satanaim here? Whether they answered Al Hen Hen Valav Hen, Rabbi Kiva's opinion, Al Hen Hen Valav Lav. Rashi quotes Rabbi Shmuel's opinion over here. No, that's if the person says the same word twice, Hen Hen Alav Lav. Here, the Rabbi Shalom saying Hen, and we're saying Hen. I don't think so. It's a totally different. The same words, but it means something totally different. Rashi and Chumash points out the Targum Onkelos on the third of the Aseres HaDibros. The Ibn Ezra writes a different opinions how you count the Aseres HaDibros. There are those who claim that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not, the Chumash says, Aseres HaDvarim. There are Aseres HaDibros. Which are the Aseres HaDibros? So the Ibn Ezra quotes, there are those who say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not the first one. The first one is, Yeloch Aleihem Acherem Alponai. So then there are only nine. So the Ibn Ezra says, well, some hold that Loisachman is divided into two. Loisachman Beis Riecha is one, Loisachman Eshes Riecha is another one. That's Kemat the same thing. So they say, no, that you divide the next one. That counts as two different. Whatever, and the Ibn Ezra thinks that it's not correct. That we count Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first of of the Aseres HaDibros. So the way we calculate, when you get to Lo Siso Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, that's already the third. Anochi is the first. Le'ilcha is the second. Together with Lasas Alchafesu, Lasishtaf Alehem, Lasav, and so on. And the third is Lasis Hashem Shamlakach Lashov. So what does it mean, Lashov? You're not allowed to swear. Shvashov means you're not allowed to swear unnecessarily. A person will swear that the sun is shining outside. You look out the window, of course the sun is shining. A person will swear that it's dark outside. That's a sheker that everybody knows. Also called the Shvashov. Shvua Sheker is, I swear I don't owe you money. And I do owe you the money. So that's a Shvua Sheker. It's not public knowledge. I swear this is a table. Everybody knows a table. I swear it's a chair. Everybody knows it's not a chair. So that's called the Shvua Shov. It's absolutely a W Yodua Mefursam. Or it's a W Yodua Mefursam, then it's not so. So the Targum Onkelos translates Lashov you're not allowed to swear Le Magona for nothing. Then the second time it says the Pasuk ends off Ki Lo Yinaka Hashem Esa Shisa Eshemoy Lashov. It should say Ki Lo Yinaka Oso Hashem. Why does this have such an Arichas? Esa Shisa Eshemoy Lashov. So the Gemara in Shavuah says Lashov Lashov Tre Zimni. The word is repeated. The second time it says Lashav in the Pasuk refers to Shvua Sheker. So Rashi points out that's where the Targum Onkelos translates. The first time in the same Pasuk, Lesisa Hashem Shakach Lashav, Lemagona, for nothing. Kiloi Nak Hashem Eseishish Moshe Lashav, the Targum translates Lishakora. So the Targum Onkelos, Rav Soloveitchik assumed, because Mishnah is like this, Targum Onkelos always gives pshutos on mikra. He's not supposed to give drushes over the Torah Shebalpeh. So apparently the Targum understood that this comment that the Gemara made, Lashov, Lashov, Trey Zimni, Imenu Inya Lashov, Tanehu Inya Lasheker, the Targum understood that this is Pshuta Shal Mikra. The first half of the Pasuk, Lashisa Shem Okecha Lashov, goes on Shvo Shov, to swear that this is a table, everybody knows, and swear it's a chair, everybody knows it's not so. Dovi Yadua LaRabim, and the second time, Eloi Naka Hashem Eksishishma Lashov, that goes on Shvo Sheker, Shvo Sheker that people don't know about. The Targum on the same thing, that's Pshuto Shal Mikra. So Rashi points that out. Rashi points out that that's what it says in the Gemara. Regarding observance of Shabbos, so it says you have to be careful. Bincha bitecha, shouldn't do malachim. So Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, if the bincha bitecha are bar mitzvah already, so then they are included in ato. Asaskam locha ato. Ato not only refers to the Jews who stood there at Har Sinai, ato refers to anyone who's an adult now. Torah is speaking to all of us. So bincha bitecha, Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, is referring to ktanim. What do you mean? The ktanim are before bar mitzvah, they're obligated to observe Shabbos. No, what it means is, if I have little children, it's my responsibility to see to it that they shouldn't do any melachos on my behalf. So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankif has a whole tshuva. Mishkan Es Yankif was a misnaget who learned in Volozhin. He was one of the early talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He was a big Litvish poisek, and he used to visit the yeshiva every year. Rav Chaim Volozhin would be mechabed him to give a shir in the Beis Medrash. And he has several tshuvas that are anti-Hasidish. So this is one of the tshuvas. He has one about the green esrig, the Hasidim amak v'davka, to buy a green esrig, because that's what it says in the Zohar, esrig ha-yorik. So he says the whole thing is a mistake. Yorik means yellow. Yorik ekarsi means green. Hasidim will pay $100 extra in order to have a green extra. So he says a green esrig. So he says a green esrig is possible. Quoting my green esrig is possible. Even if it's going to turn yellow, he disagrees with the Bach. Even if it's going to turn yellow, it's possible. So he has a few tshuvas, but he's disagreeing with the Tefillin HaChalamoid. Chassidim don't like Tefillin HaChalamoid. He has a whole tshuva against him. That's against the Vilna Gaon also. So there in that simon, he doesn't quote the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon sides with the Chassidim, not to like Tefillin HaChalamoid. But he's so anti-Chassidish, even he'll throw the Vilna Gaon in Gehenna also, because he has to attack the Chassidim. So this was a common practice by the Chassidim. They would want there was no Erev in a city, and they would have their little children before Bar Mitzvah carry their talis to shul on Shabbos, carry a talis and a siddur and a chumash. So he has a whole attack. It's a violation of Aseres Adibus. That's what Rashi writes on chumash. Lasasa kamalocha ato abinch v'itecho. Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Elu aktanim. It can't be the gedolim. The gedolim are included in ato. Then the pasuk says, v'gercha shebesh arecha. The gerim shouldn't do malacha either. If the ger is a ger tzedek who converted, so he's also included in ato. So what does it mean, ger chashev b'sherecha? Means he's a ger toishav. No, a ger toishav, something new. Ger toishav is not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So there were tanoim who were of the opinion, increases dav tesam and aleph, there were shittas and tanoim that yes, that a ger toishav is a non-Jew who accepted upon himself to observe the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. So the question is, Sheva Mitzvah's been in Noach, you're obligated to observe even if you didn't accept it upon yourself. So what changes? Because he commits himself in the presence of the Bezno, three Jews, he's mekabel upon himself to observe the Sheva Mitzvah and he's mechuyev even without accepting. So what changed all of a sudden? So that's what Avnei Nezer, the different suggestions. So Avnei Nezer suggests maybe what changes based on Gemara, he says, maybe what changes is that they're obligated to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nerach in a more enhanced form. They should observe all of the dinim that are abizrayus, all the dinim that are related to these Sheva Mitzvahs B'nerach. So that's what led some of the Tanoim to believe that a Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos, because the Gemara says, HaMachal Shabbos B'fehesi Dina Koyved Avad Zara. When we observe Shabbos, we demonstrate that we subscribe to the story of creation. So if a Jew is Machal Shabbos B'fehesi, so it's like he's not subscribing, is not demonstrating that he believes in the story of creation. So since non-Jews have to believe in God, and they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, so maybe a Ger Toshav who accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah has to enhance that observance of not worshiping Avodah Zarah by observing Shabbos to demonstrate he subscribes to the story of creation. The only thing is, Avnei Nezer explains in the Pshat and the Gemara, if you have a din based on another pasuk that a nochri is not allowed to be shoyves on Shabbos, not allowed to observe Shabbos. So how can you tell a ger toshav that he has to observe Shabbos if he's not allowed to? So the first Tana says he should observe Shabbos like we observe Yontif. Then he won't be in violation. Next Tana says that's also not allowed. The non-Jew is not allowed to observe Shabbos even to the extent that we observe Yontif. Let him observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed. Then the third Tana is Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Gemara says, Halachik Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. The third Tana says, no. If the non-Jew will observe Shabbos the way we observe Chol HaMoed, it will also be a violation of Nochri Sheshavas. So that cannot be the pshat in the pasuk. Ger Chashev Sharecha doesn't mean at all that the Ger Toshav has to observe Shabbos at all. He observes Shabbos like Chol. He shouldn't observe Shabbos at all. So what does the pasuk mean? Ger Chashev Sharecha. So the Gemara leaves you hanging. So the Tosis in Yevamos in the Sugya of Geiris, Tosis says no. Ger Chashev Sharecha means that there's an Isa Deraisa Amira LeNachri. If I ask a Ger Toshav to do a malacha for me, that'll be a violation of Ger Chashev B'Sherecha. Just like Din Chabitecha means if my young children are doing malacha on my behalf, that's my responsibility to see to it that they don't do malacha for me. So there's a Nisa Deraisa Amira LeNachri if the Nachri is a Ger Toshav. And then we can understand, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. What did they introduce? Chumra Mid Rabbanon. Amira LeNachri Shvus usually has to be patterned after some Din Deraisa. Here is the Din Deraisa, Ger Chashev B'Sherecha. If the Nachri would have been a Ger Toshav, that would have been an Isa Deraisa of Amira LeNachri. So the Rabbanon extended it to any Nachri, even if he's not a Ger Toshav. Rav Kook has in his Sefer on Shabbos Haaretz, he wrote a whole Sefer on Shemitah, that they had to Mechira. So he has a whole chapter where he quotes one of the members of his Bezdin. This is before he was chief rabbi, when he was first a rabbi in Yafo. So the one who was previously the rabbi in Yafo was the first one who made the Heta Mechira in recent times. So when he took over the Rabbanus in Yafo, it was self-understood. He has to maintain the Heta Mechira. It's his responsibility. Like here in New York, whoever takes over a shul with a rabbi like in Flatbush, the rabbi of the Young Israel Flatbush, Rabbi Salman Shoffman, was the one originally took care of the Erev of Flatbush. So the rabbi he took over after him, it was self-understood. Part of his job is to supervise the Erev of Flatbush. And the rabbi in the Jewish Center years ago is the one who made the Erev of Manhattan, so it's self-understood. Whoever takes over has to maintain the Erev of Manhattan. So that's what Rabbi Cook took over the Rabbanus in Yafo, so it was self-understood. He wasn't the one who started it. Et HaMechir was before he came. So the Shaila, one of the oppositions that Et HaMechir was, Lo Sechanim, how are you allowed to sell the land to an Arab? There's a din, you're not allowed to sell any section of Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, unless he's a Ger Toshav. So Rav Kook had a chumrah from one of the members of his bezin. He tells his name. It didn't register by me. I never heard of him. So he says, instead of selling to a Christian, maybe we should be mahadit to sell to a Muslim. And the Muslims believe in one God. So maybe all the Muslims today have a din of Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav, there's no Yisrael. That's why he's called a Ger Toshav. He's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. You're allowed to sell him a share in Eretz Yisrael. So that was the heder that he introduced to the Het Mechir. Instead of selling to a Christian goy, you should sell Christians or Rav David Azar. There's a question of Lo Sechanim. So that's Dolim Lahokal on the Lo Sechanim. He said, better sell to a Muslim. Maybe they have the status of a Ger Toshav. But then he raises the question, if they have the status of Ger Toshav, so you can't use a Muslim as a Shabbos goy. And everybody did. So that's when he already starts getting fakfetched. So he says, no, they only have a din of a Ger Toshav with respect to selling the land in Eretz, with respect to Amir Liakim HaShav, but they don't have a din of Ger Toshav. And he goes into Dchukim. So that's, some Talmud Chochem told me, I'm not familiar with Rav Kook's tshuvas. They have in the biography of Rav Kook, they write that when young Talmid Chachamim were learning in Bnei Brak, in Panevish Yeshiva, and some of them wanted to go into Psak in Hairoa, so the Chazanish used to encourage them they should look at Rav Kook's tshuvas, that he has very beautiful tshuvas, except for the tshuvas about the Het HaMechira, that he didn't like. So one Talmud Chacham told me, he went through, Talmud Chacham is in Jewish history, quite a Talmud Chacham, he said he went through many Rav Kook's tshuvas, they're all standard classical style tshuvas, except for the tshuvas about the Het HaMechira. Very doichik, they're very doichik. So this one is also, he gets involved in Chukim over here to explain why this member of his Bezdin may be right, that the Muslims have a din of Ger Toshav with respect to the din of loisachanim, but they don't have a din because the Gemara says I'm kam gertosha velav zmancha yavol noig. We don't have the yavol noig bezman and says he can't accept the gertosha. So this time Chachma said maybe you don't need a kabbalah. Maybe he's automatically gertosha because everybody knows. Everybody knows that he subscribes to the Shevet. He may not necessarily observe the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but at least he subscribes to them. But when you get Amir Ali Akam on Shabbos, there they would be Mekel, he would say, they don't have a din of Ger Toshav. At the end of the parsha, we have a pasuk, Lo Sasa Nita Lehechestav Lehezov Lo Sasa Lochem. So how do you read the pasuk where you pause in the middle, Asasinita Lehechestav, comma, Lehezov Lo Sasa Lochem? But that's not the way the trup is. It says Lo Sasaniti, comma, semicolon, Lahe Chesav Hezav Lo Sasa Lochem. So what does it mean Lo Sasaniti? How are you supposed to punctuate the pasuk? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Lo Sasaniti is a separate lav. You don't read a Lo Sasaniti Lahe Chesav. Lo Sasaniti is a separate lav. What does it mean? So the Gemara has several levels of interpretation. Lo Sasan Osi, it's written in Chumash Iti without a vav. So the Gemara darshins it as if it were written Osi. You're not allowed to make a human figure because man was created with Tzelem Elokim. Even though you're making a human figure, you're making a bust of a Dr. Belkin, or you're making a bust of a Kennedy, whatever. You're not making the shame of it. No one's going to worship it. That's one level of interpretation. You're not allowed to make Tzuras Odom. They have a bust of Dr. Belkin over here that a Jewish person made. He liked Dr. Belkin. Wasn't commissioned by the yeshiva. The guy did it on his own, and then he donated it to the yeshiva after Dr. Belkin passed away. So they felt they had no choice, so they had to put it on display in the library. But it's a keneged adin, that's an isa deraisa, to make such a bust. You shouldn't have it either, because of Maris Ein, people would think that the yeshiva commissioned them to do it. So that's why they put a sign, we didn't commission the guy to do it, he made it on his own. Okay. We hope there's no Maris Ein. Then Rima has an additional level of interpretation. Lasasin iti, you shouldn't make the musha moshin hamshamshim lefonai by moram. You're not allowed to make figures, figurines of angels. Lasasin iti, those who are with me in the Mother Elyon. Mother Elyon means in the chambers where the angels are. Then the Gemara says also, Lasasin iti, the musha moshin hamshamshim lefonai, the Mother Hatachton. Mother Hatachton, the Gemara is referring to the sun, the moon, and the stars. You're not allowed to make a planetarium. You're not allowed to make sun, moon, stars. Tosfos says you're not only allowed to make a planetarium with the pieces bolate, even just to draw a picture, because when we look at the sky, it looks like we don't see it three-dimensional. It looks to us as if everything is two-dimensional, even though it's certainly not. So Tosfos says that's included in the Yisra Deraisa. You're not allowed to make a picture of the sun, the moon, or the stars. People do it all the time. That's an Yisra Deraisa. You're not allowed to do such a thing. All of this is in Yeridei, the end of Simikuf Mem Aleph. So they quote all the three interpretations. Lasasin iti, lasasin osi, you're not allowed to make tzuras adam. Most assume tzuras adam is also even a photograph, even two-dimensional of a person is also. And the Shulchan Aruch Paschal is not so, it's only also three-dimensional. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch is. He doesn't understand. Why did the Shulchan Aruch adopt the leading position? You look in the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim hold the Chumrah. That you're not allowed to make a picture of a person, even if it's only two-dimensional. But that's why many are opposed to it. Many people, when you want to take their picture, so they put their hand in front of their face, that you shouldn't violate the Isser. It's not a chumrah. That's what the Menachas Chinuch points out. Most of the Rishonim say like that. That it's also to make Tzura Sodom, even if it's only two-dimensional. And then Losasan Iti refers to the angels and the Mother Elyon. Losasan Iti, Mother Tachton, means you're not allowed to make the muschama levana v'kerchovin. Then the Gemara also says, it based on this pasuk, and perhaps l'maskan is not based on this pasuk. L'sasen iti, you're not allowed to make rooms the same size as in the Beis Hamikdash. You're not allowed to make a shulchan the same as the Beis Hamikdash. You're not allowed to make a menorah the same as the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara at one point says that too is based on the pasuk. L'sasen iti, you're not allowed to make like the shamoshim hamshamshin osi. The rooms in the Beis Hamikdash and so on. It could be the Maskana, it's based on the Migdoshi Tiro. But at least at one point, Igmar thought that too is based on this pasuk. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
contemporary halacha?
No, I can barely talk, so they're going to get someone else to give contemporary halacha. I have to give tashlum and some other time.
So there was some talking that a 3D thing would be also that includes videos. Or 3D, would 3D include something like a video, or we would say that's still two-dimensional?
No, it's two-dimensional.
Still two-dimensional?
Yeah, it just gives you the impression. You do.